And we just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you are doing, Lord, what you have been doing, what you are busy doing, and that you will continue to do through each and every one of us. We just give you thanks this morning, Father, in Jesus' name. And Lord, even in terms of what happens from this point onwards in this meeting, may all the praise and honor and glory go to you. And we say thank you for that too, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Wow. Well, it's always good to be here. It's always such a privilege, you know, to share the Word of God. And I just trust, folks, that this message that I'm sharing here this morning is going to be an encouragement for each and every single one of us. And it should be. You know why it should be? Because whenever we hear God's Word, we should be encouraged. Really. And not only encouraged, we need to be challenged by the Word of God as well. So I've titled today's message, God's Deep Love for You. Now, I want to ask you a question. Do you feel loved by the Lord?
Yes.
I remember last week, I think just as I started the meeting, I asked that question. Do you feel loved by the Lord? Because we should not only know that God loves us, but we need to feel and sense God's love for each and every single one of us. Because He just loves us. And I want to ask us another question. You know, what do you think about when I say the word love? You know, what goes through your mind? Do you think about your spouse that you love so much? Love you, my darling. That you love so much? Huh? Or a friend or somebody that you really love? Or maybe you think about that dog of yours, Fido. Huh? You think about Fido, and you know, you just love Fido because Fido's always around, and Fido is so loyal. Huh? Maybe you think when you say the word love, you know, you think about that shiny new car that you've, you know, just purchased that goes from 0 to 100 kilometers an hour in 3.2 seconds. What is it that you think of when you hear that word love? What does love actually mean to you? So today, I'm going to go back to 1 John, and this will be the last time. I think I said that last a few. You know, we've been kind of spending time in 1 John over a period of time, and, you know, we'll share a message from 1 John, and then we don't do it for 2 or 3 weeks or a month, then we do it again. But I think this will probably be the last one for a while. But John wants to tell us a bit more about God's deep, deep love for each and every single one of us. And He also wants to tell us not only about this love, but what this love actually produces on the inside of us. You know, the scriptures that we're going to be having a look at today, they just describe that. There's so much in this portion of scripture as we go through it here this morning. So they actually tell us, first of all, how to receive this love. We need to know how to receive the love of God. And also tell us, again, what this love, once we have received it, what it will actually produce and do in our lives. And, you know, but the first thing, before I even get into any of that, we need to see that God's love for you and God's love for me is sacrificial. Isn't that true? It's a sacrificial kind of love. Now we see in 1 John 4 verse 9 it says, in this, the love of God was made manifest among us. God's love was made manifest. Who is it talking about here? Okay. That God sent His only Son into the world. Think about it. God sent His only Son into the world. Why? So that we might live through Him. Folks, it's only through the Lord Jesus Christ that we should be living. You know, the Word says, in fact, Paul says, it's no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me and through me. That's basically what he was saying. We also see, how many of us know John 3:16? That's a scripture that all of us know. And again, this is talking about this amazing sacrificial love of God. It says, for God so loved the world, that He gave His only Son. Jesus as a sacrifice. And then it says that whoever believes in him, whoever believes in Jesus, should not perish, but have eternal life. Folks, it's through Jesus that we have eternal life. Jesus is the only way to the Father. There is no other way to the Father. There's no other way to the Father. And that is why it's so important that we receive Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. I said last week that Jesus is God's gift to us, to sinners, right? But the Holy Spirit is God's gift to his children. And he gave up. Think about what Jesus actually gave up. He gave up his glory of heaven to come and live in a world that is full of sin. And then he gave himself, listen, he gave himself to that brutal death on the cross. Brutal. And was it brutal? We know that. On the cross. Why did he do that? Because of his incredibly deep love for you and for me. That's why he did it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And to be honest, you know, when I think about that, I'm not sure that any of us can fully comprehend what the Lord Jesus Christ actually did for us on the cross. Okay? He sacrificed himself for us, and his love is undeserved. It's undeserved. It says in 1 John 4 verse 10, it says, in this is love, not that we have loved God. So it wasn't that we first loved God, and like God was saying, like he's done us a favor. Well, you know, we loved him, so he's going to love us back. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And what did he do? And he sent his son to be a propitiation for our sins. Now, that is a word, you know, it comes up from time to time in Scripture. But that word actually means a sacrifice that turns away from anger. So God was unhappy with mankind, wasn't he? Because of what Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. Right from that point. Okay? Turning their back on the Lord, being disobedient, sinning, right? It goes all the way back. But God had a plan, and he sent his only begotten son as a sacrifice that turns away anger. And really, his love is not, like I said, it's not us returning. You know, we're loving him, and because we love him, he's going to love us. It's not that at all. In actual fact, when you look at Scripture, we sinned against God, and in actual fact, we were his enemies. Do you know that? We were enemies of God. It says in Romans 5:10. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. So we are undeserving of this amazing love that he has for us. We're just not deserving of it. And folks, it's vitally, vitally important that we know this. That it's not from our side. It's just, he just loves you. He just loves you. And we need to somehow get such a deep understanding and a revelation of that incredible love that he has for us and what he did as a demonstration of that love. So, you know, we may be completely unworthy, you know, of God's love. But let me say this, that doesn't make us worthless. Because some people start to get confused. They start to feel kind of worthless. And this is, it's one of the biggest lies of Satan, you know, that he starts to kind of whisper in the ears of believers and unbelievers that we are worthless. And in actual fact, what does the word say? That you and I have been created in his image. We are created in the image of God. So never allow the evil one to come in and, you know, kind of, or accept that sort of nonsense in terms of our thinking. So no matter what you do, he still loves you. He still loves you. He might not like some of the stuff we do. Is that right? You know, when we do stuff that he's told us not to do. But his love for you and his love for me will never, ever dwindle. You know, I've used this as an example some years back. I remember saying this. It's like our own children. We love our children. Is that right? No matter what. Okay? Now, if you've got little Johnny that's 3.5 years old, And you just love little Johnny so much, especially at that age. I mean, they're so cute, aren't they? Hey? 3 and a half, they're starting to get attitude and, you know, kind of ruling the house at that age. And so you love Johnny so much. And, you know, you're in a nice position where you are able to go and buy yourself a brand new white leather lounge suite. Huh? And you put that in your lounge. And now you're excited about your white leather lounge suite. And you're playing with Johnny in the lounge. And then you decide, well, I'm going to go and make myself a cup of tea. And you come back and discover that Johnny has got hold of that black permanent marker. And he has written all over your beautiful white lounge suite. Now what happens there? Think about it. Okay? Do you love Johnny any less? No, you still love him, but at that moment, maybe your fellowship between Johnny and yourself is not in a great place. Is that true? That's probably what it is. But it doesn't mean that you love your child any less. You just love him, but you're not happy about the situation. And folks, it's like that with God as well. He just loves us. He just loves us. Yeah, he doesn't like some of the stuff that we get up to and when we reject him, and we do reject him from time to time. It reminds me of the parable of the prodigal son. Now, I think I spent a whole Sunday morning speaking about that maybe 4 or 5 months ago. But think about that prodigal son, right? And that story is an amazing demonstration, you know, from God. God's showing us just how much he actually loves us. Okay? Remember the man's son comes to him and he asks for his inheritance. Now, normally you get an inheritance once your parents have passed on. Is that right? No, not this dude. Okay? He comes and he wants, Dad, I want my inheritance and I want it now. Okay? I want it now because I want to go and do my thing. I just want to do my thing. And you read it, the father didn't argue with him. The father actually gave it to him. But basically what this young guy was saying is, you know, Dad, I wish you were dead because I want the money, honey. I want the money. I want my inheritance. I really don't need you, but I really would like my inheritance. And then this guy, the father gives it to him. Then this guy goes off, and he goes off to another country with his pockets, I'm sure, bulging, you know, with money and so on. And he went off to go and live the good life, like many do, thinking that money is a solution. And we know what he got up to. The older brother said, you know, he was involved with prostitutes and, you know, it was kind of wine, woman, and song. And eventually he had nothing left. And then he came to his senses. He came back. He came to his senses and he actually came back to his father. And he came back, folks, with a repentant heart. I'm sorry. And it really was. And folks, this is how often believers treat the Father. You know people like that. On fire for the Lord. Just totally passionate about God. And then they go off and, you know, they become cold. And they go off and they do their thing. And then the wheels come off their lives. And next thing, they're back to the Father. Is that right? And all of that they go through is absolutely unnecessary. They don't have to go. People don't have to go through all of that stuff. We need to make sure that we stay close to the Lord, okay, no matter what. But we pick up the story, and again, this is just a demonstration of God's love for us. In Luke 15, verse 21, and it says, and the son said to him, now this is when the son comes back to the father. He says, Father, Dad, I've sinned against heaven and before you. He admitted it, right? And it was a real repentance there. He says to his dad then, I'm no longer worthy, Dad, to be called your son. Okay? While he is saying this, the father is not even listening. The father says in verse 29, it says, but the father says to his servants, hey guys, bring quickly, hey, not just any robe, the best robe. Bring the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and put shoes on his feet. And then, hey, also, bring the fatted calf. You know that calf that we've been preparing for a great celebration? Bring the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and let us celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now he's found. Demonstrating this amazing love that God has for you, that God has for me. Isn't that incredible? Folks, we need to somehow allow this to settle in our hearts. You know, the son here recognizes, you know, his unworthiness. But the father is determined to establish his worth. Determined. It's like God the Father is determined to establish your worth and my worth. We are worthy. Huh? God has made us worthy. How has he made us worthy? By paying a high price. Not just a high price, a very, very high price. The highest price that could be paid, and that was the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son on that cross. That's the price that he paid for you and for me, and also how he demonstrates his love towards us. And folks, this is the kind of love that he has for you. We love by him. We really are loved by him. It's a sacrificial kind of love. We don't deserve it, but he just loves us. Huh? So the question, how now do we experience that love? And John, when he's writing this, he says that we experience it when we receive God's Son, we receive God's love. Now just get the picture because we need to understand this. I mean, it's when we receive Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, it's at that point that the Holy Spirit, God is love, is that right? That's right. The Holy Spirit, who is love, comes and dwells on the inside of us. So it's at that point that we receive the love of God. Now it says in chapter 4, verse 13, let me just read it. He says, we know that we live in him, and he lives in us, because he has given us his Spirit. So the Spirit of God lives. We're unique, folks. We are a unique people. Huh? Tell the person next to you, unique. You are unique because you've got God living on the inside of you. Okay? You've got God living on the inside of you. And folks, most people on this planet don't. And our job is to ensure the best that we can that everyone on the planet receives Jesus as Lord and Savior, and that God dwells on the inside of them. It goes on to say in verse 14, we have seen and testified to the fact that the Father sent his Son. Why did the Father send his Son? As the Savior of the world. Jesus was sent by the Father as the Savior of the world. And if we are sinful, which we are, okay, the Bible says we're born into sin. If we are in that state, we need a Savior. And the Savior is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We need to receive him. Goes on to say in verse 15, God lives in those who declare that Jesus is the Son of God. Have you declared that Jesus is the Son of God? According to what he's saying right here, that God lives in you. And they live in God. Verse 16, we have known and believed that God loves us. And then it says, God is love. And as I say, we don't like to try to define God, but if ever we did, it surely would be a great definition of God, that God is love. And then he says, those who live in God's love, you live in God's love, live in God, and God lives in them. I mean, how many times does he want to tell us in those few verses that God dwells on the inside of each and every one of us that are called by his name? And it's interesting, it's the same John in his gospel. This is John 1 verse 12. He says, but to all who did receive him, Jesus, who believed in his name, did you receive him? Did you believe in his name? Do you believe in his name? He gave the right to become children of God. Folks, we are children of God. What a privilege. What a privilege. Children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but by God. Now Jesus, this is interesting because it's again the same John that wrote Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He wrote 1 John, and then he landed up on the Isle of Patmos, and he wrote the book of Revelation. And this is what this is Revelation 3:20, but this is Jesus speaking. Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Jesus is knocking at the door of people that have rejected him, knocking on the door of their hearts. And Jesus says, he's knocking on the door. He says, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, so there's a responsibility on us folks or people out there to hear Jesus knocking on the door. Jesus is not going to kick the door in. He's not going to kick that door down of people's hearts. He says, if anyone hears my voice and they open the door, he says, I will come in and eat with them and he with me. So this is what we did as believers. We invited him in, the King of Glory. So we see here that John has actually told us how to receive and experience the love of God. We've looked at that. And now he tells us about what God's love will do on the inside of us once we have it. And we have it when we received it when we got born again. Is that right? So first we see that God's love for us produces a love in us for one another. Oh my word. Isn't this an interesting one? Have you heard those people? Oh, you know, I love God, but I hate the church. Huh? People talk like that. Have you heard that? I love God and I hate the church. Well, let's have a look and see what God has to say about that, what the Word of God says about that. All right? Chapter 4, verse 7, still in 1 John. Behold, our beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. So where does love come from? From God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. In other words, if you know God, okay, there's absolutely no reason for you and I not to love other people, and particularly believers, all right, what he's saying here. He says, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. We jump to verse 11. Beloved, this is amazing. He just talks about love, you know, John. He just, like that. And verse 11 says, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. If God loves us, we need to love one another. Now, think about that for a moment. What is the great commandment? You will love your Lord, your God, with all your heart, all your soul, and you will love your neighbor as yourself. So this is a confirmation of the great commandment. And it's not called the great suggestion. It's a great commandment. It's an instruction. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. So in other words, what he's saying, that when we have the Holy Spirit in us, there's absolutely no reason why we should not be loving other people, especially believers. He's talking about believers as well. Jump to verse 19. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, here it is, I love God. Huh? Oh, I love God, but I hate the church. No, okay. Well, I don't like the church. Maybe hate's a strong word. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, talking about Christians, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this is the commandment we have from him. So now he's about to give us what the commandment is. Are you ready for it? Whoever loves God must also love his brother. Again, it's a command, folks. Command, okay? Now, we know from, you know, I've shared 1 John over a period of time, that one of the reasons why John was writing all of this was because of those false teachers that were actually getting into, you know, to the early church. So it was the apostles' teaching, and next thing you got these false teachers coming in, and he was exposing these false teachers, and he was, trying to notify, those churches as well, what to look out for. And John is refuting, some of the things that these false teachers were actually teaching. Not only teaching, some of the things these false teachers were doing, okay? They claim, these false teachers, to know God. Okay, this is chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. They claim to know God. They may have even claimed to have seen God. Huh? There's a story in our country a little while ago by somebody, I won't elaborate on it too much, but, went to heaven and took some photographs of God. How many of you have heard that story? Anyway, well, let's not get into that. Okay, and then we're selling them. All right. Okay, and they probably also claimed, these people, that they loved people, that they actually loved the people that they were leading astray. And remember what we said, when they were leading people astray, it was a deliberate thing. So John is telling them, first of all, that they do not love people, these false teachers. If they loved them, they would not be out there actually trying to lead them away, from having a deep relationship with God the Father. They wouldn't be doing that. So here's a question for us. How is your love for others? I believe we need to make these things personal, folks. It's no good us just hearing a message. We need to be challenged by the Word of God. And I'm asking you, how is your love for others, for other people? Loving someone means that there's actually a willingness to be self-sacrificing. Isn't that right? I love my wife, right? And there are times that I will be self-sacrificing and do things that, I probably don't feel like doing, but to make her happy because she likes that. And we do that. That's what love is all about. And let me say, with all of us, when it comes to this thing of being self-sacrificing, it requires strength at times, sometimes great strength. And, doing this is not a weakness, because we know that Jesus was never weak, right? He was never weak in character. And yet, he was the sacrifice for the good of mankind. So Jesus did this. So as we rely on His love, He will actually strengthen us to love other people in a way that's, as I say, sometimes it might be difficult. Difficult to love them, but we love them, demonstrate the love of God in maybe in a self-sacrificing way, because we know that it pleases the Father. Then, folks, God's love produces love for others. That's the one we've just had a look at. And confidence without fear. Now, it's interesting. I want to read this from verse 16. It says, "So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us." Do we believe it? Have we come to know it? God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. Now watch what he says. There is no fear in love. Think about that. There's no fear. Folks, you cannot have love and fear in the same place. You can't have it. You know why? Because then he says, because perfect love casts out fear. So if we are truly operating in love, that love will cast out fear. He says, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. If we are continually, experiencing fear, maybe the starting point is to have a look at how's our love, right? Because you can't have fear and love in the same place. Hey, Faye. Yeah, stem some. Okay? So what I'm saying here, that fear and love are opposites. They can't go together. You can't have fear and love, right? It's like you can't have, like, this room full of darkness and full of light at the same time. Because if it's full of darkness, when you bring in the light, the light will dispel the darkness. Isn't that right? So fear and love are opposites. Fear and faith, those are opposites as well. You can't say, oh, brother, I'm so full of faith, and yet you are fearful. They don't go together. They are opposites. But faith and love, those two are companions. And then just finally, God loves us, this love of God in us, it produces something else when we receive this love. It produces obedience to His commands. Right? In other words, if we truly do receive this love, there's going to be a demonstration of you and I being those who are doers of the Word of God and not just hearers. Changes take place. We'll pick it up in... Now I'm jumping to chapter 5, verse 1. It says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been of Him. So if you love God, there it is again, you will love other believers. That's what he says over there. You love God, will also love whoever has been born of Him, other believers. So these people that say they love God and they don't like the church, okay? I mean, I don't know where that comes from. It's like a little catchphrase that, hey, you know. Then he goes on to say, but this we know, that we love the children of God. How do we do this? When we love God and obey His commands. So that you can see there's a correlation in this love where we are demonstrating the love of God. One of the things that we will actually see is that we will start to be those who respond to God's commands and do what He tells us to do. Don't go out there. I mean, this is basically said. Don't go out there and say, oh, you know, I love God and I love people and I love, love, love. Here a love, there a love. Everywhere a love, love. You know, all of this, right? And then don't obey His commands. Verse 3. For this is love. For this is the love of God. That we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. In other words, God doesn't lay a heavy yoke on our shoulders in terms of His instructions and His commands to us. They light. For everyone who has been of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Do you want to know what the victory is that you and I have overcome the world? What does it say? Our faith. Our faith, folks. Our faith in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Our faith knowing that Jesus is the Son of God. Our faith in knowing that there was a death, a burial, a resurrection, and ascension. It's our faith, right? Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? You want to overcome the world? It will be him who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. And really, as God's love works in us, He wants us to love other people. And again, we challenge ourselves with that. Do we love the way we should be loving? Okay. And this love, what he's saying as well, that it's going to help us to live in obedience to His commands and to His instructions. That's what he said right there. That if we have the love of God, we will do what He tells us to do. Right? So in conclusion, this is, how many conclusions can I have? 3 or 4. Right. The following are interconnected. Now this is just based on what we have actually read. These are interconnected. Our love for one another is connected to us having confidence without fear, is connected to us being obedient to His commands. Is that true? Because we've just had a look at all of that. But it starts off, the starting place is receiving Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Amen? So as we grow in His love, okay, we start to follow His leading. And as we follow His leading, there's a desire in us, as we start to make the changes in our lives, we start to embrace other people, we start to love other people as well. And also, what happens, we become more confident in standing on the promises of God as well. Why? Because of this love, we will want to be obedient to Him. Isn't that true? So, question. Are you and I experiencing the love of God? How will you know if you are? I'm so pleased you asked that question. Yeah? If we are, number one, again, we'll have a love for other people, a love for believers especially. Also, we will have confidence in our faith. Also, we will be obedient to His instructions and His commands, all of these things. So, folks, God is the one that will grow us. In a way, you know, we don't really have to grow ourselves. We just have to be tuned into Him and, you know, have the responsibility of taking the steps that He wants us to take as He guides us and as He leads us. And He shows us a way, right? Don't refuse to allow Him to grow you. He wants to. He wants to grow all of us. I've seen exciting things over the years, you know, ministry and so on, you know, just interacting with people. You see people that take off and they just hang in there, man. They just grow and they never look back. And then you see those that take off and you think, wow. I mean, you see them shooting past you in terms of their growth. And you see them a few years later and they're just not plugged in anywhere. They're not, you know, serving the Lord. They kind of lukewarm. They're Christians, but they're just lukewarm Christians. This is not what the Lord wants from us, eh? So don't refuse to allow Him to grow us. Experience God's love by doing just what the Holy Spirit is telling us to do as He guides us and He leads us. And He has an amazing, fantastic plan for our lives. Huh? He does. Because He loves us. Gets back to this amazing love. I'll read last verse, chapter 5, verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. So, folks, let's choose. We've got a choice to make. With our walk is a choice. Let's choose to do things His way so that we can really experience this amazing love that He has for us. Because we're not experiencing it, it doesn't mean it's not there. It just means that we're not tuned in. Let's get tuned in as believers. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.